Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is not Bob Benyart. It's Joe Scott sitting in for Bob Benyart. I have a couple of really interesting stories today, but we're going to start with the one that hits us close to home. It was on lifenews.com this morning about a Portland, Oregon contractor. He quit when he was going to build a Planned Parenthood in Oregon. He just quit. And so everyone pretty much assumed, well, he must be pro-life. He found out the truth, and now he's out of there. He's not going to build that. Well, not so fast, folks. He's talking more right now, and this is so good because it contradicts what the Denver Post article said a few days ago. They did a big story with a big picture of Bill Hornady, the CEO of White's Corporation, the guy that's building Planned Parenthood, the new one, or he's done now. He's finished building it. It's open. They're killing there. So I had a big picture of him and a picture of Will with some protest signs, and Mr. Hornady said that there was nothing that bothered him. They opened ahead of time, no big deal. The pickets aren't bothering him. Well, listen to this. This is really good. Walsh is the guy's name that it was going to build the new Planned Parenthood in Oregon. He told a newspaper on Tuesday that he wasn't opposed to abortion. He's not. He said he signed on 2 years ago to build a medical clinic, but bowed out when he learned about the main tenant, Planned Parenthood of Columbia, Willamette. He said he spoke to the heads of the construction companies in other cities that built abortion centers and learned they had become subject to pro-life protests. I think this is why Will founded the Collaborators Project, not just to stop Planned Parenthood here, but to let the rest of the country know when you build abortion mills, there will be people at your house. Ms. Walsh said he worried that the leaders of the construction firm would be subject to protest at his home and his office, and that he was worried that they would be offensive to his family and to his neighbors. Unfortunately, the protest probably would have been offensive to his family and his neighbors. What should have happened, what should happen every single time, is the abortion mill should be offensive to everyone. But unfortunately, that's not how it works. So though his firm is no longer on the project, that doesn't mean that the project won't go forward, because you know why? There are always evil people willing to do evil things to gain a lot of money. So I'm sure that this abortion clinic in Portland, Oregon, will be built just like the one in Colorado, but there is at least one construction firm that has decided that they're not going to be the ones to have to deal with the Collaborators Project. Build this is the head of the Collaborators Project in Oregon. And he flew here to Colorado to meet Will Duffy. And they sat and they talked, and Will told him, you show them what White's is going through, and you show them the kinds of pickets that are going to be at his house, and he'll quit. You just get to that construction company and you show them what a good Collaborators Project protest can do. And guess what, folks? That's exactly what happened. He quit because he has some modicum of decency. He doesn't want to put his family through that. Unlike Hornaday, Megasin, Gondal, all the CEOs and below, the higher-ranking officials of White's here in Colorado, they could care less about their family or their neighbors. I mean, at one point, Hornaday was going to a hotel and leaving his neighbors with the picket. He could care less what was going on with them. And every time we'd showed up, Megasin would take off. And lots of times his wife and daughter would leave also. And then the neighborhood stuck with this picket that is meant for him. But that, you know, they have the means and the wherewithal to get away. Not everyone does. So this story completely and totally contradicts the story in the Denver Post a couple of days that featured Hornaday saying, look, it didn't bother us. Mr. Walsh called builders in other cities, he doesn't say in two other cities, but in other cities, and talked to them and decided, hey, this isn't for me. So do you think that whites said, hey, buddy, it's a ball. I mean, they're going to have protests in front of your house, going to have barbecues, they're going to be throwing frisbees, they're going to be chanting while you're trying to eat. It's a blast. Come on, jump in the water. It's just fine. That's not what happened. They told him what happened. They told him how they feel about it. And he decided, I don't want this the rest of my life. Mr. Hornaday and Mr. Megason may not believe that this is going to be for the rest of their life, but we'll wait and see. We'll just wait and see. So I got a kick out of this little article today because it totally contradicts the Denver Post, which gets contradicted quite a bit, in my opinion. Okay, this is another story that the Denver Post did, and I don't know. They interviewed Ron Brock. Ron Brock is he drives a truth truck in Colorado, and right now he has the truth truck all decked out in the anti-SB 200 attire, and what that does is it lets the state know how evil homosexuality is, how evil Bill Ritter is for signing a bill that allows men into women's restrooms, women into men's restrooms. And that's just the beginning of the bill. It completely and totally makes it illegal to sell a Bible, distribute a Bible, circulate a Bible, if you're a place of public accommodation, which means anywhere that has anything to do with the public, including church. When I first read the bill, I thought that the exception for churches would include the teaching of Christian ideas about homosexuality, and because in Section 6 it says it will. Well, Section 6 is talking about whether or not men and women can use one another's bathrooms. So in that section, there is an exception. In Section 8, there is no exception. So even in churches now in Colorado, as far as we can read, it is illegal. In fact, we talked to several lawyers, and they all read it the same way. It's illegal to teach anything Christian on homosexuality, even in church, because there isn't an exception in that clause, which is frightening, and I don't know, it just burns my toast. And we can't let that happen. We have to go and fight for that. But that's what Ron is doing. He's on the street, and he has his truck, it's called a truth truck, decked out in this message on all three sides and on the front. So it's all four sides talking about what Bill Ritter has done to destroy Colorado, and that he sold out to Tim Gill. So this is this story. It's called Chasing Demons with Hate. Now, if you knew Ron Brock, he's not a hateful man. He's a very nice man, a very unintimidating man. So Susan Green of the Denver Post decided to go for a ride with Ron and see what it's like to ride in his truth truck. And Ron was very accommodating. He's more than willing to let people ride with him and give his opinion, and he does a pretty good job of it, actually. So the story starts out, Ron Brock obeys the speed limits and always uses his blinkers. What a guy, that Ron. He doesn't break traffic laws. Still, the white-haired 69-year-old elicits outrage whenever cruising the streets of Denver. You're a freak, a driver calls out to Brock at a stoplight on Lincoln Street. May you burn in hell, yells a bicyclist on Broadway. Such vitriol has less to do with how Ron drives than what he's driving. And then she describes it as a red Toyota pickup converted into a rolling billboard of intolerance, he calls his truck. Now right away, you know that this story is going to be slanted. Not a rolling billboard of truth. Not a rolling billboard of what's actually happening in Colorado. But a rolling billboard of intolerance. My goodness, Susan. You may have seen the Christian Crusader, she says, circling the state capitol with signs such as homosexuality is a sin that will kill. Pervert politicians make pervert laws. Well, that's true. They do. Perverts can't tell the difference between right and wrong, and then they're going to make perverted laws. You may have noticed the giant photo of Bill Ritter. He has just supposed to look as though the governor is smooching with a man. Now, I've seen the back of the truck. It's actually pretty funny when you see it, because what Ron, and I've talked to Ron, and what he's trying to do is saying Ritter is in love with the homosexual community, and he's willing to throw your rights away. He's willing to throw your free speech out, your right to practice your religion, even in your churches. He's willing to throw that right out the window. And that's why Ron has that on the back of his truck. And I think it's pretty appropriate, in my opinion. And you may, and then she goes on to say, you may have wondered what Brock thinks he's up to. And then she quotes Ron, I'm upholding God's moral principles in a society that has walked away from it, he explains. It's exactly what he's doing. It's a good answer. And you know what? I'm thrilled that she has quoted the sign, sexuality is a sin that will kill. So many young people don't know that. So many don't know that. I've talked to high schoolers that don't know it's wrong to be a homosexual, morally wrong to be a homosexual. So, and the fact that they described the sign in the Denver Post, the one of Bill Ritter kissing the homosexual man, I love it. I love it. Bill Ritter has to live with it. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. But then, she goes on, the former hairstylist lives off Social Security, and aside from a week interlude to protest same-sex marriage in California, he's been cruising Denver since March and to protest Colorado laws prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation. Now, look how she couches this. He's going to go, he's here just to protest discrimination based on sexual orientation? No, he's not. He's protesting the sin of homosexuality. She's saying what she thinks is the easiest way to pass this abomination off to the public and let have them swallow it. Yeah, he's only been gone for a week, and he was in California, and I'll tell you what, that guy put himself in harm's way every single day to reach out to that homosexual community and to tell them of God's love and to help bring them to Christ. That's what he did for a week with his truck and with his mouth and with all the different interviews he did with different papers across the country that were there, because California was sort of the focus of the whole country during that week when they made homosexual marriage legal. And then she says he speaks angrily about the state promoting the gay lifestyle, and she's got that in quotes, and often about his preoccupation with being hit on in the men's room. Now, that's ridiculous. She just wants to make Ron look like a fool. And, you know, usually liberals, they don't have an answer. They don't have a reason. They know what they're doing is wrong. So all they've got is name-calling and belittling on their side, and they use it well. He said, you know, I could walk in your ladies' room at any time, he tells me, three times in 45 minutes. And I talked to Ron about this, and he said, he was trying to make a point with her. That's never happened before in the United States. He wasn't preoccupied with walking into the women's room like she would have you think. Because Ritter signed the bill, Brock says, he has decided to crawl into bed with the homo lifestyle. This was in the Denver Post. I love that line. And she put it in. The governor's office had no comment. Dressed in a Love Jesus and Hate Evil t-shirt Tuesday, Brock nibbled on Raisin Bran as he cruised down, thrusting his views into the faces of workers on lunch breaks and suburbanites, showing their kids the big city. So, you know, he's thrusting in their face the truth. And if one of them listens, if one of them thinks it through, if one of them turns to the Bible, because there's lots of scripture on his truck to read, one of them may get saved. It's a whole lot more than this column will do for anyone. She says, in less than an hour, I counted three people who called him a moron. That's a slow day. Really, it's a slow day. Five people who played some form of chicken in front of his truck, and 17 who saluted him with one finger. It is. That was a slow day. People were really interested in Ron yesterday. He takes it all day long. And you know what? His demeanor doesn't change. And he's willing and ready to talk to everyone, including a liberal Denver Post columnist who's going to ride in his truck with him. It can get concerning, he says, especially with the response from some as he's circling the Pride Fest last month. Well, Ron was by himself. We had a bunch of protesters at the gay shame parade, and we held signs. But Ron was on his own in that truck. So now he has to stop, like everyone else at stop signs. He has to follow all the traffic rules, and that leaves him open to people who want to cause him harm. And he's willing to take that chance just to reach out to them and tell them the truth. Now, what they do with the truth, Ron can't. He can't control that. So this is the last. You've got to read the last. She said she's ridden in the truth truck and seen Denver through Brock's windshield. As we celebrate Independence Day on Friday, it's heartening to see the First Amendment at work, especially on wheels. And then listen to this. This is where her heart and soul is. This woman is just filthy and evil. And it's even more heartening to watch a city so eager to flip a bigot the bird. What does that mean? She's just worthless. I mean, she's evil. She wanted to do a story to make fun of Ron, and I don't think it worked. I think she publicized something that isn't being publicized very much in Colorado. If you want to call in today, the phone number is 1-800-8-NYART or 1-800-836-9278. If you want to call in and praise God for something, we'd love to hear it, especially on Independence Day. And I have a huge story here that it's not being played a whole lot on TV yet, which is a little bit surprising to me. But I'm sure we'll hear a lot more of it in the coming days. Hostages freed and daring rescued, and they tricked the Columbia guerrillas. Can you believe it? 15 people were being held captive in Colombia, and I know about three from the United States. They were contractors from the United States, and they were held there for 5 years. Can you believe it? With no contact with the outside world, no real medical help while they were there. Who knows what could have happened to them? And the rescue was perpetrated. I don't know how to tell you. The rescue was carried out in the southern jungle. Soldiers posed as members of a fictitious non-government organization that supposedly would fly hostages by helicopter to a camp to meet rebel leader Alfonso Cano. The helicopter, which in reality was really from our army folks, our guys, our good guys, you know, the ones that liberals pick on and call baby killers, well, these were our guys. They picked up the hostages and flew them to freedom. Two guerrillas were captured in the operation. So they flew into this camp where these guys were being held captive. They picked them up like they were the bad guys. They put them on what they thought was a bad guy's plane or their own people's plane. And then they took them off and flew them home. Like they landed in the United States about 10:30 Eastern Standard Time last night. They went from being captured and in the middle of nowhere in a Colombian jungle to free in just a few hours. Now, they're in the hospital right now, and I hear one of them may have hepatitis. And, you know, they've been in pretty poor conditions for 5 years. And one of the people that was, besides our guys, that was saved was the woman that was running for president in Colombia, a real kind of a freedom fighter there, Ingrid Betancourt. And she was freed last night. And she has children that she's been away from for 5 years. So she was reunited with her children today. So, you know, our guys did a good thing right before Independence Day. Our guys are well trained and they're working all the time, but you don't hear about it because the general media is always going to make them out to be rapists. So I just want to thank our military. If you're sitting out there and you're listening, you've been in the military, you are in the military, you're going to join the military, thank you. These are the kind of people that you are joining with if you haven't gone into the military yet. This is the kind of integrity and fortitude that you're going to come out with. And don't let anybody tell you different. We did a great thing yesterday by pulling those people away from those terrorist hands. And they were construction workers, but guess what? They weren't whites construction workers. Whites is another story. And then yesterday, oh my goodness, day before yesterday, a black woman in Colorado decided to sing her own national anthem, the black national anthem, to the melody of our national anthem. And boy, there's a lot of angry people in Colorado this morning and yesterday. Oh, my goodness. I don't know of anyone that liked it. And she was commissioned by Mayor Hickenlooper, Colorado Mayor Hickenlooper, to sing this song. And she didn't tell him that she was going to sing the black national anthem. So people were standing there thinking, well, maybe this is just a long introduction to the real national anthem. And then she didn't sing the Star Spangled Banner. So she's in a little bit of hot water. I don't know how her career is going to go in the future, but people are not real interested in hiring her right now, except for those who have her ideas, of course. And there's another story I want to talk about. It's Gardasil. Gardasil is the shot that young mothers and young girls are being encouraged to take. The shot that will keep you from getting HPV. There are plenty of commercials on the TV right now that talk about HPV. I want my daughter to be one less. The thing they neglect to tell anyone is HPV is a venereal disease. And it's a venereal disease that you get with skin contact. So it's a very dangerous disease, and there are over 120 strains of it. This Gardasil shot may cover 10 strains, and I'm being a little more than conservative here, a little less than conservative. So Judicial Watch, they're a conservative watch organization that kind of keeps their thumb on everything that's going on in the life issues and other issues, but this one is on life. Now there are lots of deaths linked to the Gardasil shot. Now, women will die to have an abortion. They'll risk that. But why? Gardasil is just a shot. It's just a shot. No one has to do it to kill anybody. No one has to get this shot, but it's being marketed to the general populace as something that's going to save you from cancer. So some of the complications of taking the shot, they include foaming at the mouth, convulsions, comas, and that's anaphylactic shock. There are 18 women now that have had really serious, serious complications, 18 deaths. And as many as 20 and 140 serious complications. And that's reported by Judicial Watch. This is just an unbelievable story, folks. You take your daughter to the doctor and he tells you, give her this shot. This will keep her from getting HPV. You don't know that HPV is a venereal disease. And you say, oh, okay, give my daughter. Nobody's telling anyone that it's a venereal disease. So this doctor is assuming your daughter is going to be promiscuous. And you're going to give your little 11-year-old this shot. And maybe she won't live through it. Because they want to bring they understand Planned Parenthood, the people who are promoting promiscuity in children, they understand that diseases rise very fast in children that are promiscuous. And so they want to keep their statistics clean, so they want to give your child a shot to see to it that they don't ruin their your child doesn't ruin their statistics. And by doing so, they're killing young women, which is seriously, seriously evil. One of the women got the drug, and the next morning she was found dead in her bed. She's 19 years old. This is Gardasil. The next time you see this commercial, watch how carefully it's worded, how carefully they are using the media to deceive the general public. All kinds of money has gone into this. It's going to cost as much as $2 billion to buy the vaccinations for the nation's poorest girls. That's unbelievable. Even though Gardasil will not be fully tested for safety until 2009, physicians are already pushing it as a routine, harmless vaccine. And this is made by that Merck's Corporation. They make a lot of those. They also make the day-after pill, things like that. They're making big money on the death of young, innocent children being pushed to be promiscuous way before they're age is ready. Well, that no one should ever be promiscuous, but way before they're ready. So as far as getting Gardasil for cancer, forget it. You die first, and it only covers a very few of the strains of this HPV virus, which causes cancer, that comes from being promiscuous. The truth about Gardasil should be getting out. It won't. Unless you tell your neighbors. Unless you tell your neighbors. Don't forget, folks, SB 200 has not gone away. It's drying. It's going to become cement, and when it does become cement, we're going to have a problem, a big problem on our hand, and that cement will be used to hang around the neck of Christians and sink them. Folks, we need to be able to speak up in our churches, let our church members know, let our pastors know, and stand up for the word of God, and don't let any Governor Ritter stop us. Remember, Maranatha Christian School, one of the best Christian schools around. Get registered for next September. You'll love it.